I'm taking a text this morning from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Before I read that, I'd like to mention that it seems as you study God's Word, as we've been through the Old Testament and the survey of the Bible, where we have seen God's dealing with His people in so many ways, it seems like the chief concern that God had with His people in Old Testament time, yea, in New Testament time, was that they might listen to Him. It seemed that they did not want to hear His word. They would not listen. And His chief quarrel with them seems to be that they would not listen and be obedient. That's with His people, those that He has called to be His. And Ezekiel deals with this, and we want to read a portion of it here, Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in the passage here with verse 25. Ezekiel is telling why that punishment and exile is coming upon the children of Israel. From our Old Testament study there, you'll remember that both the northern tribes of Israel and the southern tribes of Judah were carried away into captivity. Their cities leveled, their lands lying in ruins, and the people transported to a foreign land, to Assyria, to Babylon. And this was punishment because they would not listen to God and be obedient. So Ezekiel says, beginning in verse number 25, Ezekiel 33, therefore, he says, tells Ezekiel to say to them, you eat meat with blood and lift up your eyes toward your idols and shed blood. Should you then possess the land? Should you continue to live in the land whenever you're disobedient? You rely on your sword. You commit abominations and you defile another's wife. Should you then possess the land? Say thus to them, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in the ruins shall fall by the sword, and those who are in the open field I will give to the beast to be devoured, and those who are in the strongholds and caves shall die of pestilence. For I will make the land most desolate. Her arrogant strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be so desolate that no one will pass through. Then they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have made the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the wall and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart pursues their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on the instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, when the captivity comes and the destruction comes, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. God's people did not listen and would not obey. Whenever you go right back to the very beginning with Adam and Eve, that was their problem, wasn't it? They did not listen to God when He told them not to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they listened to Satan, and they ate of that forbidden fruit. After that, a short time, the people became so wicked, not listening to the Lord, that He decided to destroy the earth with a flood. And the only ones that listened was Noah and his family. And they were the only ones that were saved in the ark when all flesh was but destroyed upon the face of the earth because man would not listen. Later on, we read of the wisest man that ever lived by the name of Solomon, that God gave wisdom, power, and riches as a result. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 11 that when he was old, his wives turned him away from God and he was not faithful. That he loved many foreign women, of those that the Lord had said, do not marry. But he clung to those in love, the record says, 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 and 2. He did not listen. The wisest one of them all. There was many like him who did not listen. King Amaziah of Judah was told by God's prophet not to go to battle. But he went anyway. And he was captured by the enemy. He was defeated in shame and humiliation. The Israelites from both kingdoms were taken into captivity because they would not listen to God. 2 Kings in chapter 14 and verse number 11, where's where we read about Amaziah who would not listen and he was defeated. Then in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 13 through 18, we read how that the whole nation would not listen. Yet the Lord testifies against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every one or every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Now, are you listening? Are you listening? Nevertheless, they would not hear. Surely we can see the destruction that came upon them because they would not hear. They would not hear, but they stiffened their necks, as the necks of their fathers did, who did not believe in the Lord their God. God's people would not listen. Then in chapter 18, verses 11 and 12, then the king of Assyria carried away Israel captive to Assyria and put them in Hala by the harbor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded, and they would not hear nor do them. God, as from the very beginning, commanded that we listen. And man's problem from the very beginning is that man will not listen. He will not listen to God and to the words of God. God instructed the prophet Isaiah to write about and describe these people. And he says, write it in a book, put it in a scroll for time to come, forevermore. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 and 8 and 9. He says, for this people is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Now, surely none of us know anything about children that will not hear what we say. I can remember in the summertime when we had a screen door on the back of the house and being in a hurry and go out the door and turn it loose, and my mom would shout, don't slam that door. How we fail to listen. But the greatest consequences that we can suffer come from failing to listen to God. We under the new covenant have greater reason for listening than those under the old covenant. Hebrews chapter 12. The Hebrew writer makes this comparison of us with those under the Old Testament and how essential it was for them to listen, and how much more important and essential it is that we listen today. Hebrews 12, beginning of verse 18, says, "For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched." Remember, the law that God gave to them, the way when he spoke to them, was from Mount Sinai through Moses. But he says, "You've not come to that mountain that can be touched, that burned with fire, to the blackness and darkness and tempest, and to the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. But," skipping to verse 22, "you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the just judge of all the earth, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." Our spokesman is in heaven. He's not delivering a message from the top of a mountain that is physical and tangible that might be touched. But our message comes from heaven itself. Our lawgiver is there seated at the right hand of God. The message is not from a material, tangible mountain location someplace here upon the earth, but from that heavenly Jerusalem, from the throne of God surrounded by thousands upon thousands of angels. And he who speaks to us today is Christ, the Lord, the Son of God, not an angel, not just a man like all of us, not an intermediating being of some sort. Hebrews 1 and verses 1, 2, and 3 says that God, who at various times in divers manners spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power. This is the one who speaks to us, who rules heaven and earth, and upholds all things by his power. And so the Hebrew writer says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to those things that we have heard. Hebrews 2 verses 1 and 2. Must give the more earnest heed to those things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was spoken first by the Lord and confirmed unto us by those that heard him? And we've just studied and seen in our last 13 weeks of Bible study here how that God dealt out the punishment for the children of Israel because they would not hear. And these passages here then are making the same application to us who are under the new covenant, saying, let them be an example to us that we have received a greater salvation and that our spokesman is seated in heaven itself. And we must give the more earnest heed to those things that we have heard, lest we drift away from them. We have been warned again and again to obey God's instructions. In the Old Testament, for example, the law was to be read. All the people were together during the Feast of the Tabernacles. And every 7 years that the law was to be read to all the people. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 1, Moses commanded, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak to your in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them." God told Jeremiah of the captivity that was coming and of the punishment, the exile, where his people were going to be carried away. And he's telling Jeremiah, warn the people. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah 6 and verse 10. He says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they might hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them, and they have no delight in it. Your God is saying to his prophet, is Jeremiah here. I think I said Ezekiel. It's Jeremiah 6:10. To his prophet Jeremiah, warn the people. Tell them if they don't listen, if they don't obey, then they're going into captivity. And Jeremiah is saying, it won't do any good. Their ears are unclean. They're not circumcised where they can hear. They won't listen. Who am I going to give the warning to? They despise your word. In the New Testament, Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 and verses 14 through 15 told his people that in them the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people are become dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand and be converted, and I should heal them. He's saying that the people didn't want to hear. They didn't want to hear because they didn't want to be converted. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to turn from the way in which they were living and the things that they were doing. They didn't want to give that up, and so they would not hear. So they closed their eyes, and their ears were dull of hearing. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27, Jesus, remember, says, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And when the floods came, it stood. But he says, he that does not hear these and does not do these sayings of mine is like a foolish man. Builds his house upon the sand. The rain comes, and the flood rises, the wind beats upon the house, and it falls because it's not built upon a proper foundation. And so his point is that if we do not listen to him, we're going to fall. Destruction is going to come. James wrote, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Deceiving yourselves. Oh, we can come and we can listen to the word of God. That's what the people here in Ezekiel were doing. They were saying to other people, come, let's go to the prophet and let us listen to hear the word of the Lord. So they come and they sit before him as my people and they listened. And then they left and didn't do a thing that he said. They deceived themselves. They listened to the word of the Lord and said, we are God's people. And then they went out thinking they were God's people, but deceiving themselves and didn't do one thing that God told them to do. James 1, verse 25 says, whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, being a faithful doer, not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If there's one message that we ought to get as we look to this book, it is that we must listen to it and we must obey it, or certain destruction and eternal ruins is coming upon us. You know, whenever we read these passages about the children of Israel in Old Testament time, how that they had their own agenda, they wanted to do their own thing, and they wouldn't listen to God, how that they suffered and he carried them into captivity because that they wouldn't listen. We read those passages and we laugh and think, they sure were hard-headed, stubborn people, weren't they? And we think how stupid of them that they would not obey God. You're glad that I'm not like them, aren't you? But this message, this warning that we've been looking at is given to us. This message is for us. God is saying to us, God's saying to you, to me, you're just like them. You won't listen. There are many ways in which we might refuse to listen to God. Some literally turn away and will not listen. They will not read the Bible, won't study Bible lessons, not interested in coming to Bible school Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Never open the book on their own. God's word lies on their table or on their shelf. And in this word, God's reaching out to them. But we never open it. We never join others in a study of His word. We don't want to hear what He has to say. We refuse to listen. Some others maybe refuse to listen, but they hear, they listen, but they have no intention of obeying. Like the people in the city of Athens, when Paul preached to them, Acts chapter 17, verses 18 through 21, they got Paul up there and wanted to hear what he had to say, and they were saying, "What's this babbler going to say?" So if we hear he's proclaiming some type of a new doctrine, a resurrection from the dead. And they were wondering, they were so curious what he was going to have to say. And the record says there in verse number 21, I believe it is, that the people of Athens and the strangers there spent their time in doing nothing but telling and hearing something new. They wanted to hear, but they were not interested in doing what Paul had to say to them. We mustn't deceive ourselves into thinking that we are God's people simply because we listen once in a while to His word, but we never do it. Sometimes people may listen to a sermon, but they already have their minds made up. So no matter what God's word has to say or what the message might be delivered from God's word, they're not going to make a change in their lives because their mind is made up. Others may refuse a preacher or a teacher when he speaks the truth from God's word. But you know, whenever we refuse to listen to the preacher or the teacher or one who brings God's message to us, and we do not do it, then we're just like the people of Samuel's day. You remember, Samuel felt the people had rejected him because they wanted the king. 1 Samuel 8 and verse number 7. God told Samuel, says, "They've not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, that I should not be king over them." When we reject God's messenger, it's not the messenger we're rejecting, it's God that we are rejecting. I'm afraid sometimes we may tend to think that we're just as smart as the teacher or the preacher, whoever's bringing the lesson to us, and that since the teaching he's setting forth is difficult, or it's not to our liking, then we choose not to obey. Others may refuse to obey by misinterpreting the word. That is, hearing what they want to hear and reading what they want to read. The one who reads can control the message. He can read into it what he himself wants and make it justify himself. And if we do that type of a thing, then we are not listening to God. Who's most likely to misinterpret the scriptures? What type of person is most likely to misinterpret the scriptures? Well, top of the list would be those who do not want to obey. Those who do not want to obey try to find some way around, wouldn't they? Those who have not been taught are likely to misinterpret the scriptures. Then those who are unstable and unsteadfast in serving the Lord are likely to misinterpret the scriptures because they don't want to have to make a change in their life and be steadfast in the work of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Peter's writing, and he mentions some of the writings of Paul. And he says, in Paul's writings, that there were some things hard to understand. He says, which the untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction. Those who are untaught, who are unstable individuals, unfaithful in the work of the Lord, are likely to twist the writings of the Scriptures and thus destroy themselves. But they do that in an effort to justify themselves. John 8, verse 43 through 44. Jesus in his teaching said to the people, why do you not understand my speech? They weren't hearing what he had to say. They didn't understand it. And then he answers his question. He says, because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. The reason why they didn't hear his words was because their desire was to do something else. And so they couldn't understand it. They didn't interpret it correctly. Couldn't make application of it. In our text that we read from Ezekiel 33, verse 31, God told Ezekiel there, he says, they hear your words when they sit before you and listen as my people. They hear your words, but with their mouth they show much love. But their heart pursues their own gain. They're not really interested in your words, Ezekiel. They've got their own agenda. They are interested in their own profit, their own gain, and they're out to get that. And so they're not really hearing what you have to say. So whenever our desires are contrary to the desires and interests of the Lord, then we probably not going to listen. And this is why some do not listen. Final analysis, they do not want to hear. Another reason why some do not listen is because it seems to me they think they know better or more than God. We studied this past week about Jonah. Jonah wouldn't go preach to the city of Nineveh. You remember he tried to run and God sent the storm. He was thrown overboard and swallowed up by the fish. And the Lord sent him then to go and preach to them. And he went and preached to them. And they repented in sackcloth and ashes from the king right on down. And the Lord relented and did not destroy them because they repented. Jonah sat down outside the city and overlooking the city to see what was going to happen. And when the Lord forgave them, Jonah was exceedingly angry, this record says, Jonah, the 4th chapter, in verse 1. He said, I know that's what you was going to do. He says, that's the reason I wouldn't come and preach to them. I knew you were a God full of love and kindness and mercy and that you would relent from doing harm. Jonah thought he knew what was best. He thought those people ought to have been destroyed because they were the enemy of the children of God. Their nation had been at war with his nation. He didn't think they ought to be destroyed. They didn't think they ought to be forgiven. He thought they ought to be destroyed. He says, that's why I wouldn't go preach to them. Oh, he thought he knew better than God. How often do we think that we know better than God? For example, God commands us to study, right? God's word says we should study. 2 Timothy 3:15, right? Yeah, we all see that. That's right. Are you listening to me? God's word says we should study. Do we do it? Do you study? Why not? If you do not, then I ask, why not? Is it because you already know all you need to know? Do you know more than God? And so you know, well, you don't really have to study. You know, I'm far enough along. I've learned some of the basic things. And I don't really need to study. If we take that attitude, then we're saying to God, I know more than you do. God didn't tell us to study if we have time for it.
And he didn't make an exception and said, well, now if you've been a member of the church for so many years, you don't need to study. There are no such exceptions like that. Maybe I think I know all I need to know. Perhaps the truth is that I know all I want to know, because to know anything more would demand change in my life, and I don't want to make changes. Maybe we think we just do not have time to study, which means we're saying that other things are more important. We have time to do other things, so those other things must be more important than study. God didn't say study if time permits. But in fact, he said in Matthew 6, verse 33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seeking God and his righteousness comes under the heading of study there. That's a part of study. In Matthew 16, verse 26, he said, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? What's more important than study? But we many times think we know better than God because other things are more important to us. If we think we already know it all, we need to take note of 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, which says that we must be diligent to make our calling and election sure. And of Hebrews 2 and verse 1, that says we must give the more earnest heed to those things that we've heard, lest we let them slip. Or lest we drift away from them. We do not know better than God. And we had better listen and obey. I'm afraid maybe sometimes there are some people who do not listen because of fear of worldly persecution or rejection. We might fear losing our social, business, or religious standing if we were to listen and fully obey the Lord like we should. For example, the rulers in John chapter 12 and verse 42, many of the rulers, the record says, believed on Jesus, but they would not obey him lest they should be put out of the synagogue because of the Pharisees. They feared the Pharisees, but the Pharisees had put them out of the synagogue. If we are trying to please the world and be a Christian at the same time, we're going to have problems. If we're not studying, or we're not attending services like we should be, or the worship periods and Bible study like we should, if we're not living like we should, because the people of the world would persecute or make fun of us or think we were inferior in some way or another, if we fully serve the Lord, then we've got a problem. James 4 and verse number 4 says, whosoever be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. By whose standard and by whose authority must we live? The standard of the people about us or the standard of God? If we're trying to please God and the world both, then we're just deceiving ourselves. That is, if a Christian is trying to please God, which he should be, and please the world at the same time, then he's only deceiving himself. Jesus said you cannot serve both God and mammon. You can't do both. There are many areas that we could talk about. I don't have time to do anything maybe more than mention them. Many things about which people do not want to listen today. Maybe about attending all the assemblies of the church and Bible class and so forth. People don't want to listen about that. Study, we've already talked about. There are many things that have to do with the topic of marriage and the home, bringing up of children and so forth. People don't want to hear it. Some don't want to hear that you need to marry when you get married to a faithful Christian. Some don't want to hear what God's word says in regards to divorce. That marriage is for lifetime, and there's only one exception that's made for a divorce or immorality. Some people don't want to hear that. Some don't want to hear that it's sinful for them for a couple to live together when they're not married. And they won't listen. or be obedient. We don't want to hear about prayer. Unfortunately, we seem to not have time to spend in prayer talking to God. Well, there are many things that we don't want to hear. But if we do not listen to God, the time is coming when we will truly regret it as the single most terrible mistake that we have ever made. Are you listening to me? If you and I do not listen to God, the time is coming. Without doubt, the time is coming when we're going to regret it as the single most terrible mistake that we have ever made. The Israelites regretted not listening when their nation was taken into exile. Their cities and their land was leveled and burned. The book of Lamentations is a book that records their crying, their weeping, because they would not listen to God. Their children suffered hunger, died as their mothers cuddled them in their arms from starvation. Mothers who were starved eat their own children in the city when it was besieged and cut off from all outside supplies. They suffered famine, pestilence, died by the sword, and carried into captivity. They regretted not hearing the word of the Lord. Jonah, which we already mentioned, regretted not listening as he cried to God from the depths of the sea out of that fish's belly. As he cried out of the belly of Sheol and from the foundation of the mountains and the depth of the sea, he regretted not listening. There will be a time also for you and I when we're going to regret not listening. Maybe you can look back now. I can look back in my life and see times other than slamming the kitchen door or the back door when I went out, things that I didn't listen and didn't obey. And I regret them deeply. There will be a time for you also. Maybe when you suffer serious storms in your life. Maybe when your children turn away from the Lord. Maybe when you stand face to face with the loss of your health and even face to face to death itself. Maybe when you stand before God seated upon His judgment seat, it may be through all eternity as you suffer anguish and pain, banished from the presence of God in that hell prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't know where it might be, but listen to me. Because if you and I do not listen to God and obey, one day, we're going to regret it as the single most terrible mistake we made in life. I don't know when it will be, but I know it's coming. If you're not a Christian this morning, are you listening to what God's Word says? Why not repent of your sins? Means to turn away from them, give them up, and begin to live for the Lord. Do you not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? That's necessary. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You've got to have faith, you've got to repent, and then like Peter told people on the day of Pentecost, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Listen to Him. If you haven't done those things, won't you submit to Him, render obedience to Him this morning? Or if as a Christian you have not listened to Him and you know that your life is not right, listen and return this day. Come in repentance and be restored to the service of the Lord. You're subject to that invitation. Will you not listen? Will you not obey it? While we stand there, while we sing.